On that evening, the pastor of the church gave him a Bible and encouraged him to read it, but to read it secretly, because he knew the price he may have to pay. Well, he took that Bible home and began to read, and eventually his sister found him reading the Bible, and it became known that he was reading the Bible and had professed faith in the Lord. And the family tied him, bound him, and they poured that hot cooking oil on the raw skin of his flesh. And of course, they got rid of him. They dumped him in a waste ground area. He was unconscious during that time, and when he woke up, he was surrounded by a number of Christians who took him for some medical help. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and it is the great privilege of my own heart to bring you the message of God's Word today. We're looking at the book of Revelation. We're looking at the chapter 6, verses 9 onward. We are looking at the cry of the martyrs under the altar. These are the people who have endured for Christ, given their lives for Jesus' sake and for His Word. And they cry out from under the altar for vengeance, asking, "How long, O Lord?" Now, when you proceed through the book of Revelation, you get the answer to their cries. And in Revelation chapter 16, we find that the cry comes out again. And the people under the altar, they renounce that the Lord's judgments are right and true, because that is the chapter of God pouring out the vials of wrath upon the wicked, upon those who have borne and taken the mark of the beast, those idolaters, false worshippers, who persecuted the people of God, who loved the Bible, loved the gospel, and protected and defended the name of Jesus. They are now crying out for vengeance. And we praise God that this gospel, well, the Lord will answer the cries of His people. And it is no vain thing to give your life to serve the Lord Jesus. And all who do so shall be eternally rewarded. Even though in this life you may lose your life, you may lose position, you may lose standing or salary, and there are many Christians around the world who are doing so for Jesus' sake. And we pray that God would give every one of us the grace to take up the cross and be faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus. So I bid you to join with us here in the program today as we look at the cry of the martyrs from under the altar. And this we read in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. Now, I hope that you are enjoying these programs in the book of Revelation. If you wish to hear them again, you can go on our website and you can look for them under resources, under Let the Bible Speak and past programs. Or if you need a CD, well, we can do that too. So let us know. We look forward to hearing from you. May the Lord bless you richly through His Word today. Let's open our Bibles at the book of Revelation, chapter 6, and we commence at verse 9. Revelation chapter 6, and we'll commence at verse 9. We've got a very short reading here. We're just going to read about the fifth seal and the events surrounding that. Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Let's go back to those three verses we read in Revelation chapter 6. I have a story tonight by the organization called Voice of the Martyrs. That organization was commenced by Richard Wurmbrand, and he was behind the Iron Curtain in the old days in Russia, when living for Christ and witnessing for Christ was a most dangerous thing. But on their website, they have this story of 1 week after a young Muslim man professed faith in Christ, that relatives who were angry with him for his conversion, that they burned him with hot cooking oil. And on March 4th, this young man, Gobera Bashir, who was 27, he went to church with a friend in a neighboring village, and there he heard the gospel and received the Lord as his personal Savior. On that evening, the pastor of the church gave him a Bible and encouraged him to read it, but to read it secretly, because he knew the price he may have to pay. Well, he took that Bible home and began to read, and eventually his sister found him reading the Bible, and it became known that he was reading the Bible and had professed faith in the Lord, and the family tied him, bound him, and they poured that hot cooking oil on the raw skin of his flesh. And of course, they got rid of him. They dumped him in a waste ground area. He was unconscious during that time, and when he woke up, he was surrounded by a number of Christians who took him for some medical help, and at the end of the report said that he was not doing well due to the nature of the injuries and the infection that followed after it. And so it is a very difficult case. It is strange to us in Canada that such horrible things take place. And I don't think anyone here tonight would have actually witnessed such a thing with their own eyes. We know of children maybe put out of the home, told never to come back, or maybe the Bible taken from someone and children told never to read that again, and various forms of discouragement. But to actually take your own child and to harm them in such a way, and we also know something about honor killings, that there's a stigma, there's a shame that this brings upon a family, and therefore the family takes very radical action to try and relieve themselves from all of that shame. Now, persecution has always been around, and it's always been the lot of those who take their stand for God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have a long list of the worthies who suffered so much. And I love the last nine verses. And I want to read those now just to set the context of martyrs and those who suffer for the Lord. Hebrews 11:32. What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now it says that they received not the promise. In other words, they did not see Christ. They did not live until the day when their Savior came into the world. They died in faith, waiting the very hope that caused them to deny themselves of the world, of luxuries, and to go into destitution because of their faith. We learned last week in chapter 6 here in the book of Revelation that the Lord is going forth as on a white horse, conquering and to conquer. And each time a Christian chooses to suffer for the Lord Jesus in one way or another, that is the Lord conquering. When Christians say no to the world, to the flesh, to the devil, when the Christian stands up for Jesus, that is the Lord going forth. Now, in verse 8 in Revelation chapter 6, at the breaking of the fourth seal, it says, we read, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now, the question obviously is, why does God allow persecution? Why does God allow these things to take place to his own blood-washed, blood-bought children? I answer, and I realize this is never going to be a sufficient answer, but it's part of the answer, that this is part of the war that is between God and the kingdom of Satan. There is a spiritual war that is going on. The Lord blesses and Satan rises up in hatred to destroy. He is the destroyer of souls. When we get to chapter 12, we will discover that Satan is referred to as the dragon, that super-sized serpent who maketh war with the woman. That's the church. And that is the real world in which we live. Now, there's a pattern in history of the world that when God sends blessing, the devil always follows with trials and persecution. I'm indebted tonight to our moderator, the Reverend Myron Mooney, for some of these illustrations. And he is doing a book review on the revival in Korea. And what is seeming strange, in 1907, when missionaries came to preach the gospel, God poured out his Spirit. And in January 14, 1907, 1,500 church leaders assembled in the Pangyang Presbyterian Church. Dr. William Newton Blair preached a powerful message on members of the body of Christ. After the preaching, the Reverend Graham Lee called for a time of prayer. And as they prayed, the Holy Spirit came down upon the assembly. They were melted, brought to brokenness and to tears. repentance, confession of sin, and the Holy Spirit's power all were experienced to most that were there. And that was the beginning of the great expansion of the gospel work in the land of Korea. Now, 3 years later, 1910, the Japanese army invaded. Some of the most horrific war breaches were transacted. Korean people were presented with idols of Shintoism, and they were commanded to bow and worship the idol. And when those Korean Christians who had been so greatly blessed by the Lord refused, hundreds, thousands died. Others were tortured on over long, long periods of time. And the history of Korea is a history of persecution. We know how communism came in later, followed again with great deprivation. Then there was the dividing of Korea with the help of the American army, World War II, and the suffering of the people during that time, when there was a quarter of a million Chinese soldiers in the north part of Korea, and all the horror that that brought. And then, of course, the ungodly regime that still abides there today. And today, North Korea is the number one place for persecution, especially against Christians. Now, in the three verses that we have read tonight in Revelation 6, we have the longings, the complaints, and the inner desires of martyrs. We are really given in these few verses an inside experience of what it's like to be a martyr. What are the passions? What are the longings of the people who have laid down their lives for the Lord? And I have four headings that I want to look at in these verses. First of all, there's their condition. They are under the altar. That is, their souls are under the altar, their condition. Then you have their cause. They suffered for the word of God and for their testimony. Then we have their complaint. How long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood on those that remain on the earth? And then you have their comfort at the end. White garments are given to them. They are commanded to rest for a little while until all things are fulfilled. And so if we look at these four things tonight, I think we will cover a whole lot about these martyrs that are now in glory. Their condition, they are spoken of as souls. We read here in the verse 9, I saw under the altar the souls of them. Now remember that their bodies remain on the earth. They may not even have had a decent burial. They may have been in a mass, put into a mass grave, and yet their souls are safe and sound under the altar in the presence of the Lord. They are referred to souls in Hebrews chapter 12. They are referred to as spirits. The spirits of just man made perfect. It's my conviction that there is no distinction between spirits and souls. They refer to the same thing. I know that there's a passage that talks about body, soul, and spirit. But spirits are souls and souls are spirits. And these souls, as they are referred to, they are with the Lord, made perfect. They are sheltered under the altar. Now, the altar cannot be an altar of sacrifice, and therefore it must be the altar of incense that is alluded to.
That's the place of prayer. That's the place of intercession. And of course, these souls are now safe. They are near to the Lord, and they are kept. Now, you'll notice also that they have a personal history. They are the souls of them that were slain. And so they have an identity. Each one of these martyrs are identifiable with the lives that they lived on earth and the things that they suffered while on earth. And so there is no cutoff from who these were on earth and who they are in heaven. They are the same souls and the same people. We learn then that saints in glory are real people. They are the same people that they were on earth. Abraham is still Abraham. And we know that whenever Lazarus lifted up his eyes and he beheld Abraham in the Father's bosom, it was still Abraham. He was referred to as Abraham. Moses is still Moses. Elijah is still Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so earthly identities, earthly characteristics carry over into heaven. To illustrate, Andy Ruzma, the drainage contractor, will be the same Andy Ruzma in heaven. He's the same person. Alan Samuel, the electrician, will be the same Alan Samuel in glory. I choose to use our two elders as my illustration here. We could go around the room tonight and speak of everyone. And so you will be the same person ID'd in heaven, and the history of your earthly experiences, especially your stand for Christ and your service and sufferings for Christ, will follow you. If you look at Revelation 14 and verse 13, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, you will see that for believers their works will follow. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And so what you're doing for the Lord in your lifetime here on earth will follow you. You will get credit for that. You will be acknowledged for the same person. The one who went to that church, who prayed so earnestly, was a prayer warrior in that church on earth, that same person will be known and talked of and recognized in heaven to come. Memory is a big part of personality. It's one of the great tragedies of the human frame when we lose our memories. When people are locked away in some infirmary or secure place because they have lost their minds. And you may visit and talk to them, but they don't know anybody, they don't recognize anything, they don't even know who they are or who their friends are. Their mind seems to be a blank. When you get to heaven, your mind will not be erased. You will be very conscious of things you've known, the things you've done, your deeds, your lifestyle, the very intricate details of your unique personality. Now remember that you are unique. Your fingerprint, that's how you can be identified as the one. No one else has the fingerprint you have. These days we have gadgets where we just use our fingers, and the fingerprint opens up the program or the device. I can open this one, but if I invited you to come and do it, you couldn't do it, because our fingerprints are unique. Your saliva, A DNA test can prove the uniqueness of every element of our body. And that uniqueness of our earthly lives will carry over into eternity. We will be the same people, and nothing will be lost. And that's why we can say it always pays to serve the Lord. Every sacrifice, every service will be recognized and rewarded in heaven. And the man or woman that you are now and being sanctified, changed into the image of Christ, will all count and be significant when you're glorified and brought into heaven. So this is the condition that we see of these martyrs that are under the altar. We look at verse 9, the second part of it, and we see their cause. That were slain for the word of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus. Now, people die and suffer of many things in this fallen world. Disease overcomes, tragedy overcomes, and many things happen to us. But these martyrs, which means witnesses, they are martyrs for Christ. They are his witnesses because of their stand for the book, the Word of God. And they loved the Word of God more than their own lives. That's why they became martyrs. And they found the book of God to be so convincing, so convicting, and so fulfilling that they could not bring themselves to deny the book. They stood for God's word. And they could say that their convictions in that word was more precious than life itself. And so when necessity came, they were willing to choose Christ rather than to choose life.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.